a little bit and kind of focus our minds a little bit on First. So we'll get to 2 Timothy down the road. Not sure when. Hopefully sooner than later, but we'll just see how it goes, right? We'll see how it goes. Now, when it comes to 1 Timothy, it was written about in AD 64, which John mentioned that. And it's Paul likely wrote this letter after leaving Timothy in Ephesus, and he left him there to help strengthen and protect the church. So Paul hoped to visit Timothy soon and wanted to send some instructions ahead in case he was delayed. You guys remember that? Mm-hmm. Right, a little bit of that? Okay, cool. So as we read through 1 Timothy, there are themes that are in the Bible, in that letter that we're going to focus on. There's four themes that I've found. Okay? And the four themes we're going to focus on in the next couple weeks is sound doctrine, sound worship, sound leadership, and sound living. Okay? Those are the four themes of 1 Timothy. So these are actually interconnected. You know, as you read Timothy, you're going to notice that kind of, it's all woven in there. You know, Paul jumps around in different aspects, but when you look at it, you're going to see these themes just all through 1 Timothy. And lucky for us, the beginning of Timothy actually is a little heavy on sound doctrine. So we're going to focus on sound doctrine today, and hopefully we'll get through majority of that. And the next time we see each other, we'll do, you know, sound worship, sound leadership, and then sound living. We're not going to do all those in one sitting, but maybe a couple. Okay? So, but first, I kind of want to do a little, have a little game here. So, I'm going to put up some pictures of trees. Okay? And maybe John might know. But I want you to tell me what type of fruit tree it is. Okay? All right? And we can kind of maybe take a wild guess and, you know, can shout it out. It's all good. Okay? All right. So here's your first tree. I'm glad it's on the screen.
And John's like,
orange.
So,
it's a citrus. It's like maybe a mandarin.
It's like an apricot.
It looks like a citrus tree to me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
it's
the orange.
Wow.
Tree.
Mine's
I've
seen a couple.
I can't see the leaves.
Oh, no. It's too thin.
Okay.
I can see them.
Lemon.
Yeah, see, that's true. He's right. There's a hidden clue in there that you can see. Do you see it now? You see it? There's several clues right there. Okay, so first, I have four trees, so this is, you're right, it is an orange tree. Good job. I mean, you know, I didn't think about it, but I'm like, this is an agricultural kind of valley,
yeah,
so maybe.
Really,
well, let's see. I got some other ones. All right, here's the next one. You guys ready? All right, here we go. What's this one?
Oh, that looks like a peach or a plum tree. Yeah.
Mango or avocado.
I think it's a.
Now, disclaimer. I don't actually know 100%. I just Google searched it. So this is what came up. So I'm hoping it is the right tree. That's my one of my concerns. But I believe it is. I mean, Google won't lie.
No, peach.
I say lime.
Any last, what is that, final answer? Any final answer?
Cherry tree.
Wow, dude!
Oh,
dude! Oh, coming in clutch! Coming in clutch, bro, yes!
I can see the red.
You could?
Yeah.
Oh, no, those are leaves. Those are leaves.
Oh, red.
Hey, you know what? That's, okay. It helped. Hey, amen. Yeah, that is a cherry tree.
Huh?
Oh, you know what? No, I'm not. Thank you. Alright, hold on. All right, so recording now. Okay, all right. So we have the cherry tree.
I'm already recording this.
Oh, you are? Oh, okay, cool. I don't have to do it. All right, what about this one? This one, I feel like everybody should get, or especially you know. It is kind of far, but I mean, the type, look at the style.
The way it is.
The way it is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an olive tree.
Is it?
No.
I don't know.
I know, it's kind of big, though. It's hard to tell. Yes, John. It's an apple tree. Hey, we got it. It's an apple. So this is a small one, but this is a big one. Yeah, so exactly. But this now this is not, you know, this is not exactly the same. Well, it is the same tree, but not the exact same tree of the picture. Obviously, I got a different picture, but you get the idea. Now this one's really tough. Okay. I almost wanted to get a gift card here for this one because I was like, if anybody can get this one, I'd be like, wow. All right. So what kind of fruit tree?
Banana tree.
No.
Banana, no way. It's more like a palm.
More palm-y.
Yeah.
Grapes? That's a grape tree.
No.
Not even close.
No.
Grapes aren't a vine.
Is it actually?
Is it a fig?
No, mango. Definitely not mangoes.
Guava.
Pomegranate.
No. I'll give you all a hint. It starts with the letter L.
Lime.
Lime.
Nope. No. It's a hard one. It's definitely a hard one. I wasn't. Anyone? Who'd you say?
Lima bean.
All right, no, final. Yeah, lychee. Lychee. Yes.
I never heard of that.
Yes.
Wow.
Amen. Okay.
That's
yes. Okay. Fantastic. So, I mean, as you can tell, we can, it's hard to tell what type of tree it is. I mean, obviously, it's an obvious tree, but the fact that we can see the fruit helps us to identify what kind of tree it is, right? You know what I'm saying?
I
see something coming. All right, so I know we're in 1 Timothy, but I kind of want to just move over a little bit just to kind of help frame our thoughts a little bit here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 15. And if I can get two volunteers, one to pray for right before we open the first scripture, and two to read. Two volunteers, one to pray and one to read.
I'll pray.
Pray. Cool. Thank you. Anybody?
Seven.
Matthew 7.
I'll read.
Who said that? Oh, Julio.
Okay.
Julio. All right. Let's go ahead and get into it. Matthew 7, verse 15 through 20. And go ahead. Let's pray for us, brother.
All right. Please join me as I pray. Lord God, we thank you for this amazing time to be together here in John's house. Thank you for his hospitality. Thank you for the delicious food that he fed us yesterday and today. It's still equally delicious. Lord, and we're trying to get fed today by looking into the scriptures, by unfolding the word, Lord. Thank you for Oscar being willing to lead this lesson, Lord. And I pray that he would really teach us over this time, what it means to have sound doctrine, to have sound worship, to have sound leadership, and what it means to live soundly, Lord. We want to continue to grow, to be holy, and to build up the kingdom according to your will, Father. We love you, and your sons we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
That was my little timer.
Appreciate it. Oh, yeah, no, it's for my supplements.
Take your normal pills. So.
You don't have it every day at 8. Go ahead, brother. Let's go and read.
All right. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?
Yep.
Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit,
amen. Now, if you recall John's, I'm going to kind of go back to it, overarching mega theme for all the pastoral epistles, right here, opposing false teaching, controversies, and divisiveness. So, who, as you can see, false teaching is, and I'm going back and forth, false teaching is one of those things that Paul is trying to protect against, or calling Timothy to do that. So As you can see, Jesus also talks about it. He says you can recognize false teaching by its fruits, like a tree, right? You can recognize a tree by its fruit. And if it's not good fruit, it gets cut down and thrown into the fire. So you can recognize false teaching by its fruit. And I want you to remember that because that's really important, and it's going to be kind of a foundation for sound doctrine as we go into 1 Timothy. So what I want to do is define doctrine, right? Oh, yeah, I had this little thing right here. Can I see that? Yes. Can I see that? So let's go ahead and define. Who can define what doctrine means? What is doctrine? Wrong answers only. Just kidding. Yes, Alvin.
Like, doctrine is like prophecy. That's what I believe.
Okay, prophecy, something that's been foretold in the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Beliefs.
Yeah, beliefs. First, yeah, definitely beliefs.
Yeah, a set of rules and beliefs.
Rules and beliefs, okay. Yeah.
Stephanie? A set of rules and beliefs according to God's word.
Hey, I like how this is going. Yeah, beliefs, rules and beliefs, set of rules and beliefs, and then
Anai.
Anai?
A way of teaching a lifestyle.
I love it. This is fantastic. So this goes, there's a simple definition, which would be beliefs that govern your life. Okay, beliefs that govern your life.
What?
So yes, it is a belief system, a way of thinking, truth, right, that can direct your life. Even a code of conduct. And, you know, being from the military, if you guys didn't know that, there is a code of conduct that you have to adhere to or you'll get kicked out. And a lot of places you work do have also a code of conduct, something that governs the way you behave, the way you act, and how you maybe work with customers or work with employees or things like that. So it's something that governs, a belief that governs your life. Okay? So, now, to me, one belief that governs my life is exercise and healthy eating improves the quality and quantity of my life. Now, because of that belief, I take actions. I take steps, right? You guys know, no dairy, trying to limit our sugar, right? My wife and I exercise a lot. And actually, you know, I don't know if you know this, but though we dated in the kingdom, we actually met at the gym.
Wow.
So, you know, it's kind of cool for me to marry somebody who also had that same belief. You know, they really thought that, hey, exercise and healthy eating will improve, right, your quality of life and quantity. So, but really, I mean, God is in control, though, right? I mean, I could walk out here today and get run over by a car. God forbid. You know, I can get sick. I hate to share, but I don't want to get too deep too fast, but I do have a friend who passed away from an illness, and he was very much a healthy person. And he died kind of young. And, you know, sometimes you don't have control over those things, right? So my governing belief over that is that God is in control, right? I can't necessarily do anything about that. But even though I still believe in healthy eating and exercise, I'll continue to do it, you know, but I know it's not my main belief. So ultimately, like I said, God's in control, so he takes priority. So what are some beliefs that govern your life right now that God should take maybe priority over? Or let's say, I take it back.
Like personal.
What beliefs do you have that govern your life now? It doesn't have to be like about God and not right now. Maybe later. We'll do a discussion. Yeah.
You treat people the way you want to be treated.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. So that governs your life. You treat people the way you want to treat it. Great. Great answer. Anybody else? Yeah, Josh.
Doing everything the right way.
Do everything the right way. Okay. And why is that? Why does that govern your life?
I sleep good at night.
Peace. Amen. Anybody else? Yes.
To be a friend to everyone that you know.
Okay, be a friend.
Well, within arm's reach, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Proximity. No. Okay. All right. Anybody else? One more? All right. All good. Okay, so let's continue. So the idea here is that, you know, there are doctrines, right, that we personally believe in that govern our life, you know, and a lot of them could be, you know, spiritual in nature, biblical. It could also be, you know, something different, which is admirable. Like, you know, hey, if I get a degree, I will get a great job. That's a solid belief. If I want to be a physics teacher, I got to go to school and learn physics. Absolutely. You find that to be a goal of yours, right? You know, if you want to be a great parent, or you believe, hey, great parenting is a goal or a something that you want to aspire to, then you might want to look into that, right, and be a great parent. So let's go into 1 Timothy 1, verse 2, because we're going to go into what sound doctrine looks like. Okay, so I didn't write the scriptures up here because I wanted to be in the Bible. So let's go to 1 Timothy. So let me get there with myself. So now that we know what doctrine is, we're gonna kind of find what sound doctrine looks like. Okay. All right. So who wants to read?
Read.
Jess, go ahead. Read 1 through 2.
All right. Paul and the apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our Lord, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Okay, so in light of, you know, John's theme of false teachers and the pursuit of sound doctrine, what do you see Paul doing here right away, right from the greeting, the introduction?
He's establishing his authority.
Great answer, John. Establishing his authority. But what kind of authority? Yes, Stephanie. Yes. So what is that, if he's establishing his authority that comes from God, what is he establishing himself as?
It's an apostle. John said an apostle, which means someone who's sent by Jesus.
Yeah.
So he's saying, like, I'm bringing this word to you, but you should listen to it as if it were Jesus speaking.
Amen. And we know Jesus came with grace and
truth.
So he's establishing himself as an authoritative figure for truth. Because what do we know about false teachers? What's that mean? It just says it right in the beginning.
They're false.
They're false. So what does that mean that when right away we see that Paul is trying to push back already with false teaching? Like from the get-go. Even though introductions were common like this, you can see this in a lot of different places, but he is bringing truth to his message. Okay? Now, with that, what else do you see in that intro? And I'll give you a hint, it's towards the end in verse 2, that he brings.
Grace, mercy.
Yes. So here's a little bit of a hint of what sound doctrine can bring. Okay? Here's a little bit of a hint. If he's bringing truth that comes from Jesus, what follows with that is grace, mercy, peace, truth, and with who? Amen. So we have a little bit of a relationship there, a little bit of, remember I told you, interwoven themes, right? Sound leadership. Here's Paul establishing his leadership and where his position is in this hierarchy and this authority coming from God, the God of all truth. And Jesus, we know, again, is full of grace and full of truth. So let's continue reading. Would anybody like to read next one? 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 7. Josh.
Woo! As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they're talking about or what they so confidently affirm.
Amen. Okay, now John did a great job of getting into this, and he expressed some examples of myths. And, you know, here I explain a little bit of the endless genealogy, so we won't get to kind of get into that, but we will get into the false doctrines, right? Because we're looking at from the perspective of sound doctrine, right? We're trying to explore what that is. So here we see Paul, you know, I mean, he finishes his intro and he goes right into it. He says, you know, he urges, right, for Timothy to do what?
Cut it out.
Stop teaching these false doctrines. That's strong language, right? I mean, when was the last time you've been commanded?
Well.
I mean, the Bible commands my life, but I haven't had really somebody command me, you know, to like...
Oscar!
Yeah. It's not common for that to happen. But here we have... You know, some strong language from Paul commanding Timothy to do this for the sake, you know, to stop the fall. Sorry, I didn't get to the sake yet. So why does he do that? That's the question. Why does he do that? What's the purpose of that command?
Verse 5,
yeah. Anybody?
Oh, love.
The command is love.
Yeah. Amen. So essentially this command is not self-driven, right? It's not about, you know, personal preference, ideas, opinions. It's really all about love, right? And you know, we know that Jesus is love and God is love. And so being an authoritative figure, Paul is focused on love. Right, and what that is. So we kind of, again, another hint of what sound doctrine is, right? We're starting to see that, hey, the purpose of these commands is not anything else but for love. Now, we're going to explore a little bit more of that here in a second. So, John did mention the genealogies and the myths, and I would say that would be kind of considered, in a way, distractions from sound doctrine. Okay? They're just distractions. They're not really getting to the meat of it. But doctrine, sound doctrine, obviously what's causing that would be the false teachers, right? So we really got to address that. And the goal, again, is love. So, again, it's not power, it's not control, it's not money, right? It's love.
Yeah.
Okay? So Paul says this love comes from three things. Now, what things is Paul talking about here? It's in the same verse 5.
A pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith.
Okay. So, if you think about this for a second, the opposite of false teaching being sound doctrine would be something that comes with love, comes with peace, some mercy, some truth, a relationship with God. And it also comes with some pure heart, with a good conscience, right? And a sincere faith. Can you guys define those for me? What's a pure heart?
I'm still thinking.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so a pure heart, I think in terms of like religion or just spirituality, is you honestly believe, like in terms of Christianity, it's like, wow, I love Jesus. I want to honor him. I want to serve him. I want to build the kingdom. Rather than, like, say, if I were to start my own religion or my own cult or something, then it would be for my own gain. It's like, oh, I want to manipulate these people and have control and dominance over them.
Yeah.
But we see that's not what Paul's doing. He's like, oh, I care about your edification.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
I think it's a heart without guilt, without bad motives. Like
innocence.
Yeah.
And who among us do we find innocent in our in not in us now, but like in our world? Who do we find innocent?
Children.
Children.
Some children.
She knows. But generally, we just see children that have a child. You know, they have childlike hearts. They're innocent, pure hearted. They'll come up to you and say the darndest things.
Yep. You're so
funny. You know, but they don't mean it in an evil way, right? No,
they're just
being pure-hearted. So I like to think. I mean, I don't have an exact definition of pure heart. To be honest with you, I wanted the Holy Spirit to kind of bring that out. But I think about children. You know, the innocence that they carry and the heart that they have.
Yes.
And we can totally see that. It's so easy to see it in children. What about good conscience?
Kind of what Josh was saying, that you have guilt in your mind. It's a good conscience.
Yeah.
You know that you're not doing harm to anyone or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, you have good intentions. You really want the best for that person. I mean, you can see that, not everyone, but you can see that in parents sometimes, you know, or good teachers or people that are, you know, in your corner, coaches. You know, those people have good intentions. They want to see your best. You know, for me, I was a coach, and I wanted the best for my clients, but I yell at them for the next rep, you know, hit the heavier weights, pick it up. They didn't like it, but man, it was, you know, I had good intentions, you know, for them. So what about sincere faith? What would that be?
Have pure faith.
Sincere faith, yeah.
Like pure faith.
Okay. All right, yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, it's kind of almost the same question. Pure faith, you know, sincere faith.
Very interrelated.
Yeah. Well, what does it mean to be sincere?
Genuine.
Honest.
Truthful.
Really mean
it.
Yeah.
John, what is that one thing?
It literally means without wax.
Yeah. I'll read
this. Sincere?
Yeah. Which means not fake, basically.
Not fake. Yeah.
This, I don't know. Black pottery, they put little wax in there to make the cracks go away.
Yeah.
No cracks, so not wax. As in, what you see is the reality. Of,
yeah, so we're starting to see a little bit of... We're starting to see a little bit of what that... sound doctrine kind of comes with, right? We're seeing a little bit of that. So it's important that we do see that, because there's a lot of teaching going out there, right? A lot of types of teaching. And you can tell, going back to what Jesus said, by its fruit. These are all fruit. These are all fruit of like sound doctrine. You know, good conscience, purity of heart. You know, sincere faith, peace, love, you know, patience, mercy, grace. That's all the things that come from a good belief system that governs your life. Right? But how do you know? Right? You gotta see that. That's how you know. Right? If it doesn't create those things, then you can see, hey, there's something off here. Okay, there's something wrong. I don't know what it is. I don't see any mercy here. I don't see any grace. I don't see good faith or good conscience. You know, sincere faith, pure heart. So there's something there. There's some teaching, something that's governing life that needs a correction or an adjustment.
Yeah, I wanted to, like, thinking about, what was it, good conscience.
Yeah.
Like, Hanae and Josh talked about being free from guilt. I think that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Because in Christianity, we should be free from guilt. Like, our sins have been washed away. Especially, you know, if you genuinely repented, it's like, yeah, maybe you should feel guilty about the sin that you're continuing to do if you haven't, like, repented of it. But once you have repented and you're like, okay, yeah, I'm washed away by the blood of Christ, you're free, right? And we can also use that as an indicator to kind of sniff out false doctrine and these groups that are maybe kind of toxic. Like, are you using guilt to
really? Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you say that because let me just focus on one little point, and I'm going to continue what you said here because it works really well for the next point. But Paul does describe what false teachers are doing here. Right? Do you guys see that? It's in this segment. What characteristics do we see about false teachers?
They
have meaningless discussions. They just talk about things that, hey, it sounds interesting, but it doesn't really...
Controversial speculations.
Yeah, cause controversy.
They're trying to draw attention to themselves.
Yep. Anything else?
They devote themselves to myths.
Yep.
They want to be teachers.
They want to... be in a position of, I don't know, authority, you know, be respected,
listen to. I want to have power over people.
Power, yeah. They also, you notice they speak confidently. So they're pretty persuasive, maybe enthusiastic, charismatic, maybe. Okay, maybe they're intelligent. Okay, maybe they're, you know, emotionally appealing, you know, maybe they're attractive, interesting, right?
Make money.
Yeah. Maybe they're culturally acceptable.
They also sugarcoat everything, false teachers.
Yeah. Well, you can see that here, you know, in a lot of different ways, what the characteristics of a false teacher would have. So... you know, again, Matthew 7, right? I want to go back to that because Jesus said, hey, you can tell by their fruit, right? So determine. And, you know, I don't know how far I want to get into this because of time, but I just want to just point this out real quick. These are, you know, some things that, maybe not progressive moralism, maybe like progressive Christianity, maybe that's better. But prosperity gospel, hey, you know, God cares more about your bank account, your comfort, right? Your success.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Jesus suffered. You know?
He did. He said, you're
going to
suffer.
He said, you're going to suffer. So this is, I don't want to, like, I mean, I just want to warn you guys.
Yeah,
you know?
Some churches are like that.
So be careful.
For the money.
Be careful. Legalism, too strict, too hard.
Using guilt.
This is where guilt will reside. Performance driven. Right? Okay. Again, progressive Christianity should be. It's like, hey, you know, I know the Bible says this, but you know,
sin it up.
There's gray areas.
Yeah.
It's all right. I mean, we can just go in and on that one. This is the one that I really am probably the most susceptible to: self-help Christianity. Where I look at Jesus and God as a way to better myself.
Oh, wow.
That's my goal. It's my own well-being.
Okay.
I mean, obviously Jesus called us to think about others. Be selfless, sacrificial, right? So this one, I feel like this is, I wouldn't say it's a sin, right, necessarily, but it's a trap.
Yeah.
It's a trap. Okay, it keeps the focus on you,
yeah,
not on God. Okay, and others, right? Other people. So just glad we were able to hit that pretty quick. Now I want to be clear too that struggling is not the same thing though. So it's just because someone's struggling, that's not fruit. of a false teacher, right? I mean, some struggle, that's normal. I mean, actually, the fact that they're struggling is actually a sign that they're doing their best. They're trying to honor God in a lot of ways. So, you know, if someone's struggling with a sin of any kind, it's a normal situation in a walk with God. Honestly, we fight with our flesh. You know, I have struggles still, and we all do. We all have them. But that's not necessarily what a false teacher is, right? It's just leading away from this, from love, right? That's the goal. So, as I mentioned in Sunday sermon, it's not whether disciples struggle, it's whether we surrender our lives to sound doctrine, right? Whether we absorb, what are we absorbing? What are we believing? What are we accepting as true? Because that will, remember, what you repeatedly allow in your brain, in your head, will eventually shape your life, right? So I just want to kind of drop that in there, Sunday sermon, right? Let's move on. I hope we had more time. We don't have more time, so let's go to 1 Timothy 1:8. 1:8 through 11. Can I get another reader?
I've read it.
Who hasn't read yet?
Me.
Okay, go ahead, Alvin. Is that what you said? You literally yeah. haven't read yet. And then I said, who hasn't read?
We know that the law is good and one uses it is properly. We also know that the law is made not for the
righteous,
but the law breakers and rebels, the ungodly, sinful, the unholy, and irreligious.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
For those who killed their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for the sexual immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms gospel concerning the glory Ooh. Of the blessed God which he entrusted to me.
Ooh, okay, so we're learning a couple things here about sound doctrine. What is one thing that we see right there at the very end, from end of verse 10 into verse 11? What's something that we see about sound doctrine?
Whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine.
Yeah, but what is sound doctrine? It says right there in verse 11.
That conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he
It conforms to the gospel. That's important to say because, you know, if you think about the time here, I mean, it's not like they had the Bible. They didn't have all, I mean, they had the epistle, but they didn't have it all neatly put together like we do. Oh. Right? So what, let's look at verse 8. What law are they talking about here?
The Old Testament.
Yeah.
The law of the prophets.
Yeah?
Torah?
So, when you read this... How does it use properly?
Excuse me. How is the law used properly?
Yeah.
To reveal sin.
Yes, it reveals sin. That is how what the law is doing, for sure. But, if you see right here, what is sound doctrine? We know the law is sound doctrine. Right? I mean, it is sound doctrine. God wrote it with his finger. Right? But, properly. So we have another hint that false teachers were doing what?
Improper use of
They're trying to use the law to get people to have all these rules that were no longer applied.
No longer
applied. The New Testament.
Yeah.
Like you need to get circumcised to be Christian.
Yeah.
The traditional,
So sound doctrine used properly does what? The law used properly does what?
Points us towards Jesus.
Points us towards Jesus, conforms to the gospel. So when we go into the Old Testament, we have to also kind of pull in the New Testament, right? We have to conform to the gospel. That's how if you just take the Old Testament for what it is, it would be a sound doctrine, but in the sake of what Paul is, in the light of Jesus, we need to take that and bring it in to the gospel of Christ. Now, I do want to say that this gospel, right, it transforms people, it leads people to godliness, it helps people, forgives people. So the law in used improperly would do what? Lead to all these things that we're talking about here. And it leads to fruit that we kind of may not want. So be careful, right? So that's how we're going to know. Now, you know, these catalogs of sins, that these are just examples of lawlessness, right? And I want to point out that for a Jew to read this, it would have been like, what are you talking about? Because, man, you know, it's like, how you say the law is for those people. Like, are you calling us lawless? You know, are you calling us, you know, godless? Like, you know, in par with slave traders and liars? No, I don't think that's necessarily what Paul is doing. But I do believe that he's just adding to it, right? Helping those people get to where they need to go, right? Which the command is love. Now, I do got to finish it. I'm trying to finish as fast as I can. So let's go to 1 Timothy 12:17. Is it Cassie? Cassie, did you want to read last time, or is it Stephanie? Okay. All right, this is the last part, and then we'll have a quick discussion, and then we'll do announcements.
I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display an immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now, to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So, I want to point out a little bit about this, about Paul sharing his testimony. What law was he living under when he was a blasphemer and prosecutor and violent man?
The law of Moses.
Law of Moses. But wait a second. You know, isn't that a sound? It's sound doctrine. So what gives here?
I think he was under his own law.
No, he was a Pharisee. He was totally following the law.
Yes, he was totally following the law. So, why does he share that?
To say that even he was more, and he got grace from God.
Yeah. Now remember, the Old Testament is sound doctrine. Right?
Yeah.
We know that. But yet he was a violent man, blasphemer. Why?
Because he missed Christ.
Because there's something missing. It's not all about sound doctrine. It's not always about knowing the right things.
Wow.
You can know all the right things, but miss the most important thing of all. And that's Jesus. Yeah. I mean, Paul had the sound doctrine. He knew it back in front. I mean, he was a Pharisee, yet he was a violent man, persecutor, blasphemer. But how did he change?
Once he knew Jesus.
He was shown, it's in the scripture, he was shown mercy. He acted in ignorance and unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. Now I'm going to be honest with you real quick, because it is midweek, and it's a good time to say things like this, but I wonder if we're too focused on sound doctrine when we study the Bible. If we're just trying to get them to know the sound doctrine that we know.
Facts.
I mean, that sound doctrine didn't change Paul. Right? That's our hope, that, hey, if somebody studies the Bible, they're going to change. So let's show them the right things. Right? But what actually changed Paul?
Jesus.
Mercy.
Grace.
Patience. Love. So sound doctrine is important, but Paul did not forget that what's really important is Jesus and mercy and grace. So as someone, Timothy, seeing this, I'm sure that he would react in a way, hey, yes, sound doctrine, I can see it, I can know it, I can even command against it, but at some point, our human will has limits. We need to rely on Jesus. And so, he was shown mercy. Now, how can we do the same thing? Are we, when you study the Bible, are you showing them mercy? Are we showing them patience? Are we showing love along with the sound doctrine? I think that's something we got to think about, right? It's not always just a educational, informational session, but it's also a loving, caring, patient time with whoever you're reaching out to, whoever you're connecting with, right? That's what changed Paul, okay? So the Bible, though, will transform people, okay, but not from our effort, not from our wisdom, it's not from us, though we can have plenty, and John has a lot, okay, but it's by the power of Jesus and the will of God that that transformation happens, okay? Let's not forget that. So, the funny thing is that when we see this, we know that, hey, Paul was ultimately transformed, and we see that, hey, you know, love comes from a pure heart, good conscience, and sincere faith. And in Paul's testimony, he is a living evidence of that. He is living evidence of the power of the gospel and of sound doctrine together. Okay. So remember, it's not just about information, right? It's not just about, hey, he had the right knowledge, which he did. But it's also about knowing Jesus. So I love what he says here. I think it's in this verse, right? Did we read it? But for the verse, I will show mercy. Example. Oh, no. I think it's in the future. Oh, yeah. That's in verse 18. Don't, I'm using, no, it's not there. Where is it? Don't do something. I forgot what I didn't write a note on it. Where is it? Sorry, I lost my spot. Anyway, so let's, I wrote it down. Don't lose hope in the power of the gospel. That's what I wrote down. But I thought he wrote that. Didn't he write that?
Isn't it already up? No. It's later. Not in these verses.
Yeah, not in these verses. Yeah. I think it's later on. Anyway.
But it does say, Paul, Apostle Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and Christ Jesus our hope.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I lost my spot there in my notes. All good. So let's just say, hey, doctrine shapes our hearts, our conscience, our faith, our worship, our living, right? So when we close tonight, I want to kind of go into this question. And I want you to just kind of maybe talk to a partner next to you. All right, we don't have to have a big group discussion, but just like for like, I know it's kind of late already, but maybe we can go like 2 minutes here. What unhealthy or bad fruit are you noticing in your life right now? And what beliefs might be contributing to that fruit? Okay. So, I don't know. It's kind of maybe a heavy question, but... Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I'm at two minutes.
Maybe you didn't answer the second half of the question. For me, I've been noticing there's something that I was a few years ago. I was just interested in the transition. One of the main things that I was working on was I find myself, communication with students, driving, patient people. So that lack of patience, to me, means not believing that God's in control. Because, of course, I officially believe that God's in control. But when I'm being patient with church, I'm
one more minute.
Speaking to God.
Maybe, yeah, next one.
Impatience. So what belief is what belief is that you can only get over the work of the work of
Seconds.
Yeah. So, yeah. I have to look at the pages.
All right, let's start bringing it back, everybody.
I noticed myself slipping instead of being present. That's not good. Do better
with it. I love it, though. I love it. I love this guy. All right, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back. If you can hear me, clap once. If you can hear me, clap twice. Thank you guys for sharing. Obviously, I want you guys to discuss more. I love discussion, but hey, well, maybe you could take this question on some of your D times and just chat about it, see what, you know, see what comes up, right? I do have one question for the group. What's one main scripture that you can hold on to govern your life today? And what fruit that produces? So tell me a scripture you think of. Maybe you want to look it up really fast. And by knowing that scripture, what fruit will that produce? Just one. Okay, so one scripture, one fruit. You ready, Alvin?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'll say John 3:16. I'll say that verse really opens up to me. You know, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, whoever believes in him should not perish but receive eternal life.
Amen.
So that's just, you know, that just helps me stay
faithful.
My faith.
Amen. That's a faithful fruit right there. Fruit of faith. Anybody else? Go ahead, Stephanie. Yeah.
For me, it's Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Lots of fruit there. That's a lot of fruit already in it.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Hanai?
That's 1 Corinthians 6:12. It says, I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything.
Mm,
and the fruit,
good.
I would say self-control. And
ooh, self-control. Yes. Self-control.
Wow.
Nice one. Yeah, I love that. My wife, yes?
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Mm.
Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other.
Amen. And what kind of fruit would that produce for you?
I mean, I think I want, like...
All the spirit. They just said all the... All the fruits of spirit. All of them. Everything. All of it.
For my, like, yeah. I was just talking to Josh. It's more of, like, you know, to have self-control and then discipline and crucify the flesh.
Yeah.
And the passions and our desires.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, amen. So yeah. Area. Trust in the Holy Spirit's work in you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Will you?
For me, it's Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophecy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
Amen. And what fruit does that produce for you?
It's a reminder, you know, to give it my all, you know.
Yeah.
Embrace the gifts that I have.
When I hear that scripture, the fruit that just naturally comes from me is that I have a place. Mm-hmm. And God gave me a gift, and I can use that gift for his purpose. So thank you for sharing that. Appreciate it. So that's our lesson for sound doctrine. Okay. I'm going to pray us out, but before we do, I'm going to do some announcements. Okay. I did a little extra work here, so hopefully you guys will appreciate it. All right. So we have announcements. Okay. So Friday, we have volleyball ultimate frisbee.
That's right.
I'm gonna share this on our group chat so that you can share it with friends and all that stuff. Okay.